Good morning. It's good to see you. Well, we are, as Martin's mentioned already, going through a series on spiritual gifts at the moment. And this morning we find ourselves with healing and thinking about healing, and in particular thinking about faith as well. You know, throughout the Bible there is this thread, this golden thread of God's commitment to healing, and we see him regularly healing people and using healing to reach into people's lives. Throughout the Old Testament, God puts his name on the fact that he's going to heal people. In Exodus chapter 15, God says, "I am the God who heals you." And the word, can we put that up on the screen, Cole? Is that all right? Sorry? You haven't got anything. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Colin's going to see if he can find some. But in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 15, God says, "I am the God who heals you." And it's one of his names. He puts his name on the fact that he's going to heal people. The word used there is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals. In Psalm 103, God speaks and he says this. He says, "I'm the God who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." We have a God who heals. We see him through direct requests from Abraham, from Elijah, from Elisha at different times, and from Moses reaching out and healing people. There's an incredible story, isn't there, in the Old Testament where Moses holds up the bronze serpent in front of the nation of Israel, and the Israelites are healed. God has a heart for healing. And into the New Testament, as we read about Jesus and we see Jesus' ministry, Jesus is going around, he's preaching about the arrival of his kingdom. And with the arrival of his kingdom comes miracles and signs that are there to point towards what Jesus' kingdom is like. It's almost like every time Jesus performs a miracle, every time he reaches out and heals someone, he's saying, "This is what my kingdom is like. The king has arrived, and with the king comes these signs, particularly of healing." As one commentator on the Gospels, on Jesus, says this. He says that in the Gospels you find Jesus either healing someone or he's on his way to heal someone. It just seems time and time again Jesus' ministry is marked out by the fact that he heals. It's a wonderful story in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew records it as the feeding of the 4,000. And there are thousands of people gathering around Jesus on a hill. And it says that he healed all those who were sick amongst them. Imagine that. Crowd of thousands of people and all those who were sick were healed. Imagine the joy. Imagine the atmosphere being on that hill with Jesus. Praising heaven, glimpse of what heaven is like. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, we get that wonderful picture of what heaven, what eternity is going to be like, where it says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Healing is a sign of things to come, a glimpse of paradise, a glimpse of what eternity with God is going to be like. It's a sign of what God's heart is like. I believe in healing. I believe in healing. I believe that God has given his church the ability, the gift, the spiritual gift to be able to pray for people and to see them healed. I've prayed for people and seen them healed. I have been prayed for and I have been healed at different times in my life. It's a frustration that comes with it. I don't see enough of it. I don't see enough of it in my life or in other people's lives, but I believe in healing. And so the plan this morning is to explore this topic of healing. And we're going to think about, what do we mean by healing? We're going to ask the question, well, why isn't everybody healed then? If we're gonna, there's a few nods there. Yeah, come on, answer that, Mark. That's what you're after, isn't it? Why isn't everybody healed? And we're also gonna think about, well, what's faith got to do with healing as well? And as we go through this morning, in the last section, I want to give us a prayer that we can pray as well. Just, we're going to gradually piece together the words of a prayer that we can pray if we want to explore this gift. So what do we mean by the gift of healing? Well, first of all, what I want to say is that there is no gift of healing. Having said I believe in it, there is no gift of healing. It's fascinating. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about this gift, it isn't gift singular, it's gifts of healings. It's plural. In our NIV translation, it makes gifts plural. It doesn't make healings plural. But actually, in the original Greek that Paul wrote in, it was gifts plural of healings plural. And what Paul means here is that there is no one gift given by the Spirit to heal all sickness, to heal all diseases, to heal all pain. His language here suggests that there are many different gifts for healing, or that each occurrence of healing is a distinct gift from God. Does that make sense? There's lots of gifts that God gives us for healings. It makes sense to me, I think, because there are lots of different ways that we can become ill, aren't there? Things that cause us pain, things that cause us distress. And so God's given the church, he gives the church different gifts, plural, and of healings, so that we can all get involved. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. So many different ways that we might ask God to heal us. But he's given us the gifts to do that. I find this incredibly encouraging. Because do you know what? In my mind, if there was just one gift of healing that God gave the church, I would think that's got to be for the really spiritual people. Do you know what? That gift, if the gift of healing, that must be for the top people. The people who hover a few inches above the ground, so they're closer to God. The people with the biggest Bibles and who are the holiest people. I like the fact that actually there are plural, there are gifts of healings that God gives to his church. For the common good. As we saw in the first week, for the common good. I love how John Wimber talks about spiritual gifts, in particular how he talks about gifts of healings. He says, there are gifts of healing, there are many gifts, and that means, he says, we all get to play. I love that attitude. We all get to play. We all get to have a go, to dip our toe in the water, and to say, do you know what? I think this could be for me. We all can all step out in faith and believe that we can pray for others to be healed. What do we mean by the gift of healing? Well, there's lots of gifts of healing that we can use. Well, if that's the case, why isn't everybody healed then? If there's so many opportunities to pray for people and to explore this gift, why isn't everybody healed? I suspect this is one of the biggest questions that many of us have, because it causes pain, it causes heartache, it causes frustration. There's a story of Jesus visiting his hometown. What was his hometown? Nazareth, yeah. He's visiting his hometown of Nazareth in Matthew chapter 13. And we see the locals take offense, it says, at Jesus. It's incredible, isn't it? It says, isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. And look at this last sentence here. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus was limited in what he could do in his hometown. And it seems to me that we also experience a similar disappointment when we want to see sick people healed. That there's a limit upon it. You know, I've prayed for lots and lots of people to be healed. I love praying for people to be healed. But the vast majority are still unwell. Some have died. People that I've prayed for. Causes me pain. Causes me heartache. Gives me questions. Why is this? What about Jehovah Rapha? I am the God who heals. Now, part of the answer here, I believe, involves Jesus' teaching about his kingdom. Do you remember we started there a few moments ago thinking about Jesus preaching about his kingdom? And when Jesus spoke about his kingdom, he would say different things. One point in Luke 10, he says this, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Another point in Luke 17, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's just Jesus' teaching, saying that his kingdom is here. It's close. The king is here and he wants to heal. He wants to be close to us. But Jesus also said other things about his kingdom. When he teaches us to pray, he says this, pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a tension here, isn't there? Jesus' kingdom is here, but he also teaches us to pray that his kingdom comes as well. His kingdom's here, but it's not fully realized. In Luke 19, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And within that parable, in Luke 19, he explains it a bit further. And he says that there's a man who's going off to a far country to be appointed king. And so he leaves his servants with the different amounts of talents. But this man's going off to a far country to be appointed king. And then he's going to return, he says, with his kingdom. Jesus is the man in that parable. He's the man who has gone off to be appointed king. And he's going to return with the fullness of his kingdom. Right now, we see glimpses of Jesus' kingdom. We see glimpses of it. One day, when Jesus returns, we're going to see the fullness of his kingdom. This begins to help me understand, I think, why everyone we pray for isn't healed today. One day we're all going to be healed. It's the greatest healing Jesus does in our life. Salvation, eternity, paradise with him. The word used so often in scripture for healing is identical to salvation. The greatest work God wants to do in our lives. But right now, here on earth, we see glimpses. Anybody here love going to the cinema? A few of us, yeah, enjoy going to the cinema. You know, I love going to see films at the cinema. I also love getting there a bit earlier and seeing the trailers. Why do we like seeing the trailers? It's a glimpse of what's to come, yeah? It's a glimpse of what's to come. And the incredible thing is, when you see those trailers, those films are already made, aren't they? They're already made. They're in the can. They're ready. But they give us a foretaste, don't they? They give us a glimpse of what's to come. There's a sense. Jesus' kingdom is there. It's there. It's fully there. Right now, we see trailers. We get a foretaste of what's to come. I've asked Keith Willis if he would share this morning a little bit of testimony. Keith, come and join me. Many of you will know Keith and will know that Keith is receiving treatment at the moment for cancer. And I spent some time with Keith and Mary and just some things that Keith was sharing to me the other day about this tension of healing and why we don't see it was just interesting. So Keith's been very, very gracious to share this morning. Thanks, Keith.
I try to be as quick as I can because the thought process as I've been going through the year was I'll get to the end of the chemo, which is in the beginning of October, and then I'll ask Mark if I could say something. And we know full well what happens with that is that you get to the end and it's forgotten and you don't do it. So when I've been asked, I thought I will say something, but I try not to interfere with this, but do what I want to do as well. The year hasn't been good. The year is sort of one of those years you would wish didn't happen. You would like to have got a paintbrush and painted out, or just say, can we start again? It has not been a very good year. But there is a big but in it. And it actually started at the end of December. And it was a Sunday prior to me going and having the diagnosis, to be honest. And we was in the service. Obviously, the setup was slightly different. And we always come in that door. I don't know why. We are creatures of habit. We come in that door, sit there. This particular Sunday morning, we're sitting over there. I don't know why. I assume it was full up. But we sat over there, sat in the seat where you're in training to become a ballet dancer. You know, we push you up like that. And I remember, clearly remember this. And I think God puts these things in our mind, doesn't he, to actually remind us. And he got to the end of the service, and the last song was a song that says, he goes before you, he's there behind you, he's there at the side of you, he is there and he loves you. And that has been my experience through the year. And one might say, well, 3 days later you got a diagnosis of bowel cancer. He went before you. Well, we're not immune from this. We're in this world. We're not immune from the things that happen in this world. The difference is we have a God that is with us, and he's with us through it. And that is my experience. One of the things that has touched me through the year, and it's actually blown me away, is the fact that loads of people have come to see me. And they've been a blessing. And I'm not a sociable person. If you go to a large group, or I want to go in a corner, or try and find someone who can I push through the washing up. You know, I don't want to be there. And when it comes to the end of the service, to be honest, I probably want to go out and go home, not go around speaking to every Tom, Dick and Harry. And so when it comes to a lot of people came and see me, it blew me away. And I'm sitting there, I remember clearly back in January after the operation, they removed the tumour. And sitting there, or lying on the bed, with people in front of me, and thinking, what are they showing me? They are showing me the goodness of God, the goodness of God. And he is a good God. I think the reason why Mark is asked me here was, nearly 2 weeks ago, Mark came round, as he's done from the beginning, and prayed with us and been a great support. And we were talking about healing. And I think the question Mark gave to me was, where do I stand with healing? And I think my answer was, and it is that we pray for things and then we leave them with the Lord. And that is what we've done through our life. We've prayed and left them with the Lord. The amazing thing this time is that I know full well that there's been loads of people praying for me. And to be honest, all around the world. And I know you have prayed, pockets of you have prayed, connect groups have prayed, individual have prayed, and there's people here probably prayed and I don't even know about it. That you have prayed for me. But we leave it with the Lord. Am I going on too long? Just to finish off, Toyin, who actually sort of leads the gospel choir, she, right at the beginning of the year, we informed her, said we're going to be missing for a little bit, and didn't quite realise it was going to be probably the year, but we told her we was going to be missing, and she says, I don't know how you feel about American preachers. And to be honest, I didn't answer. It does actually say in the Bible, you haven't got any positive to say, keep quiet. And so I didn't answer. And so she sent me through a link, and I thought, well, I will listen to it. And to be honest, I timed it, and it was an hour and 35 minutes long, typically American, extremely repetitionary, but I got 3 points out of it. One assumes it was the 3 points, but this is very simplistic. It was more than I'm going to tell you. But it starts off with God has made things in it. He made us, he created us, and in our body we have healing qualities. He has created, he put it in our body, healing qualities. And there are things that automatically heal. When a doctor or a surgeon finishes the operation, he comes to you and says, right, you've now got to rest and the body's got to heal. God has done that. He's put it in the creation. He's got healing qualities within our body. The second one was, we have an amazing amount of ability within our medical profession. The doctors and the surgeons are absolutely amazing. And when you sit in hospital and you look at them, we've got to appreciate that. We've got to appreciate what we've got. Who gave it to them? God gave it to them. And thirdly, we must never, ever forget that we have a God that created us. We have a God that can remove mountains. We have a God that can do the impossible. And it's in him we put our trust. It is in him we put our trust. Finish. One, I would like to thank you for your support. Two, I would like to say, trust. I have learned more. I've obviously been a Christian some time and know the importance of trusting God, but I've learned more this year how to put my trust in him. Trust and obey. There is no other way. And I've had a song going around my head all year. I think I've been singing it wrong because Mary's done a printout and the words are slightly different from what I've been singing in my head. But I remember singing this way back in the 60s. And I remember it being in a little book called Youth Praise. And that's how we actually found the words, because we looked up Youth Praise and we found these words. And it says, God is good. We sing and shout it. God is good. We celebrate. God is good. No more we doubt it. God is good. We know it's true. And when I think of his love for me, my heart fills with praise and I feel like dancing. Not a pretty sight. And to be perfectly honest, you will never ever see that. But I do feel like dancing. And there is, for in his heart, there is room for me. And I run with arms open wide.
Wonderful. Thanks, Keith. Brilliant. Thanks, Keith. There's a mystery. There's a mystery, isn't there, to God's ways. Some things we understand, some things will never, and they will remain unexplained. We can't and we won't know why God doesn't always heal in the instant. But we can't let the fact that most people we pray for aren't healed put us off praying for healing. Yeah, we can't let the fact that sometimes people aren't healed put us off praying for healing. So quickly then, what's faith got to do with healings? A lot. A lot. The spiritual gift of faith goes hand in hand with healing. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, twice they're listed next to each other. They're listed next to each other. There's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. Faith and healings. Faith and miracles go together. We see this in the New Testament. In fact, and we'll put some of these up on the screen. Sometimes the faith of the person who's needing healing is crucial. Sometimes it's crucial. In Matthew 9, there's a woman healed of bleeding for many years. And Jesus says to her, your faith has healed you. Sometimes it's the faith of those around the person which is crucial. There's in Matthew 15, there's a situation where a woman is asking for her daughter to be healed. And Jesus comments on this woman's faith and her daughter is healed. Sometimes it's the faith of those doing the praying for the person. In Mark 9, there's a man whose son keeps trying to hurt himself, throw himself in fires. And Jesus says to the man, do you believe? He says, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Sometimes it's the faith of those who are praying. Sometimes faith seemingly plays no part. It's never mentioned. But the vast majority of times in the New Testament that people are healed and where Jesus is involved, faith plays a major part in the healing. Think of the stories of the lepers who are healed. Think of the story of Bartimaeus. Faith plays a part. So why is that then? Why does faith play such a huge part in healing? What sort of faith do we think is operating when we pray for someone to be healed? I want to just look at three very quick aspects of faith. And as we look at these, we're going to put together a prayer that we can pray for people when we want to see them healed. So the first type of faith that is in operation is this, that it's the faith which declares that God is our sole source of healing. You know, Jesus doesn't need our faith to heal someone. It's not like a magic formula or magic words that he needs. But when faith is shown and when faith is declared, it glorifies God. And it's worship for God. When we pray for someone to be healed, part of what we do there must be that we turn to God and we declare that we need him and him alone. Now this is difficult, isn't it? Living at the time we do, living in the place that we do, with all the resources around us. What do you do when you're unwell? You try and go to the doctor, don't you? You start to phone, and you phone again, and you phone again, and you phone. No, you try and go to the doctor, or you go to the pharmacist, or you go and do something. Yeah, because actually we're surrounded by so many resources, so many things that we think so we can heal ourselves. We can use that medicine to do it. One of the things that we need to do when we want to pray for someone to be healed, when we want to see ourselves is to turn to God straight away and declare, God, you and you alone are who I need. A prayer of surrender. Psalm 147 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. I think that's part of what's happening here. In James chapter 5, which was read to us there, it talks about the role of elders in praying for people to be healed. This special role that elders have. If we're sick, we're to call the elders of the church and they will anoint us with oil and we will be healed. Part of doing that, I believe, is this declaring that we need God. Actually turning our eyes off of ourselves. And going to the people that God has put in place in leadership and saying, actually, God, I'm going to do this. Rather than going to the pharmacist, rather than going to the doctor straight away, I'm going to ask, God, that you would heal me through the leaders of my church. Please do that. It amazes me how few times in the year we have people phone us in the church and say, could you come and pray? Could the elders come round and pray? Make the first thing you do, or one of the first things you do, to turn to God, to turn to the elders and ask them to heal you, to say, God, I need you. Maybe one of the things we can start to pray is here in the red text at the bottom of the screen. When we pray for people to be healed, this declaration of faith in God as our sole source of healing. God, you are our provider and our healer. You supply all our needs. We need only you and we trust you completely. What a statement of faith that is as you turn to pray for someone to be healed. A faith which declares that God is our sole source of healing. The second type of faith we can express when we're praying for people to be healed is a faith which declares that God can heal. In Matthew 9, two blind men come to Jesus and they're following him and they ask for him to heal them. And Jesus turns to them and he says, do you believe I'm able to heal you? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And they say, yes. Jesus asked them to make a statement of faith that he could heal them. There's something important about us declaring what we believe God can do. Now there's been moments where I've been praying for people where suddenly I felt that faith rise in me and I thought, God can do this. God can do this. He could heal this person. Not only that he can heal them, but that he wants to heal them as well. See, there's a difference, isn't there, between somebody being able to do something, but also trusting that they want to do it as well. God has a heart for healing. He puts his name on it, Jehovah Rapha. And in fact, Jesus goes and puts his name on it as well, doesn't he? Because he says in Mark 16, go, and in my name you will place your hands on people and they will get well. Jesus says, actually, when you pray for people, use my name. This is how much I can do it. This is how much I want to do it. I'm going to put my name on it. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John going to pray and they heal that guy. And it says, they say in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Why do they use Jesus' name? Because Jesus can heal and he wants to heal people. So he gives us a spiritual gift, spiritual gifts of healing to be able to do that. We have a God that can heal. We have a God that wants to heal. If we're going to add to our prayer, the words are there in red. A statement of faith. I believe that there is power in Jesus' name. And I believe you can heal. You are Jehovah Rapha. Next time you pray for someone to be healed, declare that. Declare that God can heal them and that he's put his name on it. And the final thing is this, that we can express a faith which declares that God will heal right now. That's the gifts of healings, isn't it? When God heals in that moment. This is the type of faith I think that Paul has in mind in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9 where he talks about the gifts of healings. And in James 5 as well that we read, where he says, the prayer of the righteous will be prayed and you will be healed. It's this kind of faith in that moment, that belief that God is going to do something incredible right now. When I've shared many times at the front about when our daughter Josie was incredibly unwell when she was born back in 2008. And Josie's condition just kept getting worse and worse. She was born very premature and she just got worse and worse and worse. I remember we used to go in and pray for her and the church that we were part of used to come in and pray for her. And I remember one morning getting up very early in the hospital and going and praying for her. And, cause I was awake and, then going back into bed in the room that we had. And just as I was falling asleep, just this moment with God where he said to me, no more. Josie's illness, he said to me, will go no further. And I remember very clearly him saying, I'm drawing a line in the ground. That's it. That's it. And getting up again and this unbelievable sense that God was going to heal Josie and going back to where she was and praying for and saying, God, I believe you're going to heal her now. And the incredible thing is from that moment, Josie got better. And today we've got her medical records that say she had a miraculous healing. That's the words of the doctors at Addenbrookes, a miraculous healing. There's those moments where faith rises within us. Do you have those? Yeah. And you just go, he's going to do it now. He's going to do it now. To put this into the words of a prayer that we could add to the others, we could say something like this. If we put it up, Cole, that'd be great. Thank you, God, that you desire to heal. And I believe you will heal right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, please heal. And you can put the person's name. Let's put those all together, shall we, Colin? If you flick on to the next slide. This is the kind of thing I think we need to be stepping out in faith and praying over people. It's all those words that we've looked at this morning. God, you are our provider and healer. You supply all our needs. We need only you and we trust you completely. I believe that there is power in Jesus' name and I believe you can heal. You are Jehovah Rapha. God, thank you that you desire to heal and I believe you will heal right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, please heal this person. It's not magic words. It's not a magic formula. But I think we can see this in scripture, that these kind of words, this kind of faith is needed when we want to see people healed. Do you believe in the gifts of healings? Good. Do we believe that God is our sole source of healing? Do we believe that Jesus can heal, that he wants to heal? Good. Do we believe that God has a heart for healing? Good. Do we believe that he will heal right now? Yeah, we do, don't we? This is the kind of faith God is looking for. Are you willing to step out in faith and begin praying for others to be healed? Say, God, I desire this gift. It's a journey of mystery. If you enter this, it's a journey of frustration. It's a journey of challenges. But it's a journey that can bring great joy as well as we see people healed around us.